Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLX. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Where's Stringtown Road, Long Lane, Pumpkinvine Road, and where are all of the old schools in Marion County, churches, and coal mines, and why does it matter? Let's go in depth with Charlotte Shivers, Larry Brown, Marilyn Brown, Susan Prather, Will Prather, Peggy Terpstra, and A.B. Davis with the Marion County Rural History Buffs. We're here at the Dairy Shop in Pleasantville. We were hoping to be standing out by the Stringtown Road sign, but rain came in pretty hard, and so we're sitting around. And Charlotte, you're pretty excited about this.
Oh, I sure am. I was just thinking, being rained out or rained in here, it reminded me of old Red Rock and all the floods there. So maybe this is a nice way to dedicate our sign to all the wonders of our past. Here's to Red Rock.
Okay, now what gave you the idea for this sign project?
Well, to make more of our history visible, to let people know where we came from, that something happened before us. And of course, I knew that G40 used to be called Stringtown Road. And that's, I think, a lot more interesting name than G40. We also, as of now, have two signs out on G76, Long Lane. And then we're going to go on and be putting signs up where old schools were, and coal mines, flour mills, sawmills. The rural history buffs want to mark the rural history sites of Marion County.
Well, then, Browns, what are your interests here in the rural signs?
My interest in rural signs, like, be involved in identifying historical places, because there's a lot of history that is lost there. Your listeners have within their homes, many of them, historical documents, old Bibles, pamphlets, whatever, that we don't know anything about. And I like to find that information out and get out there and let the public know, historical people know where these things were, where the old churches and the mills and everything were at. I've heard of old mills, for example, up on White Breast. I have no idea where it was. I've never found anything in writing. And our purpose, I believe, is just to identify these so the history is not lost. Because it's very interesting to know that this was Stringtown. It'll be very interesting to research and locate and post that information. We have a Facebook page already. We'll work eventually getting a website, and we have plans to produce maps like the farm crawl and the artist crawl that they have here, produce maps so that somebody can come in and just make a tour of Marion County, find out where things were at. Some people that were that's now retired or been gone away for a long time, their children, grandchildren, like to know, where did my grandparents live? Where did my great-grandparents? Where did they go to school? Where did they shop? Where were the town that they used to live in? Wheeling's not very far from here, but you'll never know if you drive by on the highway, because it's just a cornfield. But I find it interesting that there was a town there at one time. So our purpose, I believe, is just to identify. We're not there to, you know, I can say, write a long historical document about it, but just identify where these places were at and let people know.
Is there a sign coming to Melcher Dallas area soon?
A sign to Melcher Dallas. Well, there could be. There's a lot of historical old churches right west of Melcher Dallas. The old I guess now it's G62, some of that. And there's some towns over there right across the Dallas and the Franklin township line. There's been a town or two there. There was an old town right north of Dallas. It's long gone. All those places are long gone. But there are a lot of very historical places in this part of the county. So we're covering the whole county, not just one area, though.
Sure. Do you have a favorite sign you're looking forward to getting in place?
No, I don't. But I think all the signs are important. I think it's great because I think when somebody's going by, they see a sign and they go, well, I remember my grandfather talking about that place. and it will bring back to their memory where that place is. It's a marking. It's a marking of the history, so it's not forgotten.
So it'll be old towns, old roads, churches? Schools.
Churches, cemeteries, roads, schoolhouses, anything.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Charlotte Shivers, Larry Brown, Marilyn Brown, Susan Prather, Will Prather, Peggy Terpstra, and A.B. Davis with the Marion County Rural History Buffs. Susan, you grew up near Red Rock or in Red Rock?
I grew up south of Red Rock.
South of Red Rock.
And the first Highway 14 went past our house, down the hill, and the first bridge over Des Moines River into Red Rock was there. So that was the first. There are actually three Highway 14s. So I was able to live on the first and go to school next to the second and watch the highway being paved. And then the third went in when I was in college. So.
And you want all three marked?
Oh, yes, but I won't get it. But I'd like that.
Well, sometimes I look down off of the east side, and I'm wondering if what you see there when you're coming in over the lake, if that's one of the old Highway 14s. You see an old bit of pavement down there? Is that one of them?
Mm-hmm. That was two. That was the second one.
That was
one.
The second one. Mm-hmm. When the water's low, you can see old Highway 14, number two.
Number two.
Okay, and where was the first one then?
The first one, if you go past our house and then wear walking shoes, you can walk down the hill and you are on old Highway 14, the first.
It's outside, so where's your house?
Where's our house? At the top of the hill, 120th. And it was the first highway.
Does Highway 14 have special meaning to both of you?
It has special meaning to me because I can remember at that time we had a lot of traffic and there were many walkers, not scads, but quite a few walkers. And that was always an event. And as a small child, I thought that was really rather scary. One of the markings that I'd like to see would be Bethel Church, because it's Bethel Community Center now, but it did used to be a church that had lines that were lovely. And I can remember the community getting together for community dinners, and then afterwards everyone would clear everything off the middle of the floor, and they would have square dances. But I was too small to participate. But I do remember it, and the floor. The floor would gently go up and down, and I sat there thinking they're going to go into the basement. But anyway, those are some of my thoughts, and I do remember Bethel Church with good thoughts.
And so it's important now to commemorate
yes.
it with a sign.
Yes, it is.
And Will, where would you like to see some signs?
Well, I got interested in the history of this area with the towns that were inundated by the lake. And that's been my prime interest in Red Rock and Cordova and Byfield and some of those towns. I guess it's difficult to identify those with a sign, but it seems to me they're pretty important to this whole area. They were some of the first towns in the area, particularly the old town of Red Rock.
And we don't want to lose those memories of those towns.
No. There's some very interesting history, both recorded and unrecorded, about the town of Red Rock. There's a book that's called Red Rock. It was published by Harriet Husingville, which is Central College. It tells a lot about the history of that area, and it's worth reading.
Why should we care? This is 2011. Why should we care about a submerged town?
Well, this was the first community in this part of Iowa. They're at town of Red Rock in 1842 was the first established community in this part of the world. and the original Indians knew the area because of the Red Rock Bluffs that are right above the old town, and it was, and once the white settlers came to the area and the Red Rock Line was established right at that point, it has a lot of history. The town itself had quite an interesting history. There were more homicides per capita in the town of Red Rock than anywhere in the country.
Is that right?
According to the history books that I read.
And why was it such a rough?
Well, because it was the end of the. It was kind of the end of the world when the Red Rock Line was established. You couldn't go any farther than Red Rock, and a lot of the, I guess, more rough characters of the world would head that direction and settle at Red Rock. Now, that doesn't mean that at later years it was that tough a community. In fact, a very nice community in later years, but originally it was kind of a noted little town.
Because lands held by Indians were to the west.
Yes, yes.
White settlers could only go to Red Rock. That was it.
Yes. Yes, there were more trading posts and trading between the Indians and the whites in that area than probably any other area around.
And so it's not just the history of one town or even of Marion County, it's the history of America.
Yes, yes.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Charlotte Shivers, Larry Brown, Marilyn Brown, Susan Prather, Will Prather, Peggy Terpstra, and A.B. Davis with the Marion County Rural History Buffs.
And Peggy, what's your interest?
Well, I grew up northwest of Red Rock and so enjoyed many stories. And I remember as a small child, my grandfather told me that they had wanted to make Red Rock the capital of the state of Iowa, but that it flooded too often, and so it just wasn't practical to make it. But I can remember as a small child being very impressed that I lived someplace that was going to, except for the flooding, be the capital of the state of Iowa. So I was very impressed, because whatever my grandfather said had to be the truth.
Still that way for granted.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, as Will and Susan talked about, there are just so many stories. And for me, history is about my stories and other people's stories and remembering what a great childhood I had and all of the stories. It's a sense of belonging, a sense of community that I think sometimes we struggle to find now in 2011. So I think it's important to try and bring those stories in for people nowadays so they can see the importance of having a sense of belonging, having a sense of community, a sense of family. I grew up around family. I can remember we had to watch what we did because we didn't want, Grandma and Grandpa to find out or Aunt Dorothy to find out. So we had this whole sense of community that was watching us, so to speak. Certainly not hovering, but you certainly wanted to pay attention to some of those things, and you wanted to make your parents proud. And so I think that's very important nowadays, that people understand there was that sense of community back then.
Maybe some of it will carry on to the future.
I would hope so. I would hope so.
Now, Abe, you're the first person to really introduce me to all these wonderful names for all the old roadways. They interest you too, don't they?
Yes. Yeah, I'm a baby resident of Marion County and a lifelong resident here, and with particular interest in almost everything that's been said so far. So I'm just a history buff.
And you grew up in the Marysville area?
Yes, rural Marysville.
And is there anything in that neck of the woods that you'd like to see commemorated with a sign?
Well, not particularly. Everything. There's historical things everywhere you turn, and of course we've got a committee to identify those things, and then we'll be marking them.
Give me a couple of the more interesting roadway names.
Oh, wow. Johnny Cake Holler. Johnny Cake Road is a road between Highway 5 and Bussey.
I was always partial to Pumpkin Vine Road myself.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, there was a railroad ran from Tracy over to near Cedar Creek, west of Twin Cedars School. And it was so crooked following the creek channel that the people that rode it called it the Pumpkin Vine Railroad. And then there's a road there that parallels the railroad. So it naturally picked up the name Pumpkin Vine Road.
But no favorite?
No, not really.
So, Charlotte, what's next for the group?
We're going to keep getting members and putting up signs. Can I tell you about some of our new members?
Sure.
Bob Baker, Irma Williams, who's now on our membership committee, Larry Kahn of the Pleasantville Library, Mary Beth Gilmore of Marlin Beauty here in town, Lily Brandon, who's tours with the Iowa State Bank, Martha Shivers-Skillman of the Iowa Prairie Network, Jean and Janice Heberlund. Janice did writing about Pinchy. So I think our next signs, though, we're going to focus a little more on the Stringtown area, maybe this Bethel Church, Union School, and then probably go off toward the Bussey, Marysville, that part of the county. But meanwhile, any of us or any of the listeners who want to put forth the money, probably less than $100, can pay for a historic sign they would like. So you could do that too.
Just pick one out?
Pick one out, then we want to make sure that our history committee approves it, just to make sure that it's real and was actually here. And then our marker committee, headed up by AB, working with the county engineer, would get in the sign.
And it's pretty easy to be a member, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It is very easy to be a member. We do ask a $25 membership fee, and I think it's $45 for a family, $50 for a business or organization, or for only $200, you can be a lifetime member, and you don't have to bother writing checks every year. It's just very exciting and fun to get these forgotten places marked. These folks have said it so beautifully, but I think that tells us more about where we've been and who we are. Maybe it'll help us be better people. Our next meeting is going to be at Next Chapter in Knoxville, and it is the second Thursday of July, which is July 14th at 10 o'clock in the morning, and all of our meetings are open. We welcome folks who want to come in and share and help us honor our history. Marion County should be as much fun to drive through as Vermont or southern France.
Thanks to Charlotte Shivers, Larry Brown, Marilyn Brown, Susan Prather, Will Prather, Peggy Terpstra, and A.B. Davis for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard, bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.